The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know what faith without works is dead actually means? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. That's because we're in a series responding to Wayne Grudem's critique of free grace. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to get to that discussion in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to remind you about our national conference, which is coming up pretty soon. In fact, you can learn all about our national conference by going to faithalone.org, click on events, and you can even register right there on the site. We certainly hope to see you at this year's national conference. Well, let's get right to today's discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're going through Wayne Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. And we're happy to do it. We're so glad that someone of a caliber as Wayne Grudem decided to address the free grace movement. I think it's growing. I think we're getting our message out there. People really are kind of attracted to this idea that salvation really is by believing apart from works. And it really is without gimmicks. And grace really is free. And eternal life really is free. A lot of people say they believe that, but when you kind of scratch beneath the surface, it turns out they don't really. And in fact, we think that Wayne Grudem kind of falls into that category. He says he believes in grace. He says he believes in salvation by faith apart from works. But even just a cursory reading of his book shows that he really doesn't think simply believing is enough.
Oh, no.
In fact, that's the whole burden of his book, that we're saved by faith alone, but alone doesn't mean alone. you need works.
You got to have the other keys. The blue key alone won't do it.
He uses this illustration of his view where he has keys on a keychain, and faith is one of the keys, and it opens the door. But in his illustration, works are another key, and although that key doesn't really fit in the lock, for some reason you cannot open the door unless that other key's on the keychain.
Right.
Which means it might as well fit in the lock. I mean, you're basically saying you need both keys to open the door.
Right.
And he doesn't see it that way, but it's clearly an illustration of works salvation. Works are necessary, but for some reason he doesn't see it that way. Anyways, we're in chapter 5 of his book. It's called Unlikely Interpretations. And he picks 11 verses where he thinks free grace theology has unlikely interpretations. And by the way, those 11 verses do nothing to contradict the free grace position, which is based on 100 clear verses that salvation is by faith. And you have a book called Faith Alone in 100 Verses.
Right.
These other passages are, frankly, they're interesting, but they're certainly not knockdown positions for the free grace position, and neither are they home runs for Grudem's position.
Right. In fact, we've been arguing that it's Grudem's interpretation of these 11 verses, his interpretations are unlikely. They're actually impossible. I mean, in order to take his views, you basically need to ignore the context, not do word studies. Basically, you don't exegete the passages. You just quote the passage and say, see?
So, for example, passage number 10 is James 2:26. And by the way, I challenge you, pick up a copy of Zane Hodges' commentary on the Epistle of James. We have a free short version available at our website, faithalone.org. And just compare it to what Grudem says these verses mean. You decide which one makes sense of the whole book. Grudem thinks it's all about eternal salvation.
Right.
And so that's going to drive his interpretation of James 2:26. He says, James writes, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." And he quotes Zane Hodges as saying that basically dead faith must necessarily have been alive before. And what James is worried about is a Christian whose faith has lost all of its vitality and productiveness. So if you have dead faith, what does that tell you about the faith? Before it was alive, right?
Right. Although I do think there's another way we can look at this. Let me just mention a couple things, and then I think you're going to read a little bit more from Grudem. This expression, faith without works is dead, occurs three times in the passage. It occurs in verse 17, again in verse 20, and again in the final verse, verse 26. Obviously, James wants to emphasize this. Faith without works is dead, faith without works is dead, faith without works is dead. And so the question is, what does he mean by faith without works is dead? Grudem thinks dead means non-faith. That's not at all what he's talking about, but read a little bit more about what Grudem's arguing, and then we'll actually see what the text says.
So Grudem thinks this is all about eternal salvation, and he says on page 135, This entire section begins with the question that has to do with eternal salvation. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Now, in the last episode, we showed that definitely James is not talking about eternal salvation. He definitely has temporal deliverance in view. But Grudem goes on, because no physical danger or sickness is specified in the context, save here must be understood to refer to eternal salvation. Again, we strongly disagree. One of Grudem's claims that we mentioned in the last episode was he claimed, and it's silly for him to say this, he said every single occurrence of save must refer to eternal salvation in the New Testament, unless there's like a handful of exceptions where it refers to temporal salvation.
Right, and it has to specifically mention sickness, or it has to mention a physical danger. If, when you read the context, it's clear that he's talking to believers about some other salvation, that doesn't count for him, because he can always say, well, wait a minute, there are unbelievers present.
And you responded, or we responded, that actually, Bob's done the word study. You can read it in his book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words of the Bible, and you can get that at our website, faithalone.org. And you clearly show, actually, the reverse of what Grudem says is true. 100% of the uses of save and salvation in the Old Testament have to do with earthly salvation,
right,
not eternal. And 80%...
70% in the New Testament refer to some sort of temporal deliverance. And in James, all five refer to temporal deliverance.
And so Grudem thinks it's all about eternal salvation. And so he thinks that we're put into a self-contradiction, because he says in James 2:14... when James says, can that faith save him? It's a rhetorical question, and James expects a negative answer. And
he does expect a negative answer.
Yes.
So the point is clearly that faith can't save the believer from something.
So Grudem says this means that Hodges is contradicting the entire force of the paragraph when he implies that a person with dead faith is still saved, because that faith must have been alive at an earlier point.
Okay, now wait a minute. He put dead faith in quotes. Now, that's not actually in the passage, right? Maybe he's quoting Hodges.
Yeah, he might be quoting Hodges.
I don't know, but it's interesting that so many commentators speak of dead faith, and yet James doesn't use that expression.
That's interesting. He says faith without works is dead. So what's the difference?
Okay, here's the difference. Let's say I said a bicycle without tires is dead. It would still be a bicycle. It just wouldn't have tires. Now, maybe you could argue, well, that's a frame. Okay, how about a car without gasoline is dead?
Right.
That car is still a car.
Right.
Once you put the fuel in it, it works just fine.
Sure, or like a toy without working batteries is dead.
Right. That doesn't mean it's not a toy. You know, you've taken a lot of philosophy classes, Sean. I haven't, but I am familiar with the principle in philosophy that A cannot be non-A. In other words, if you say A is A, then that's correct. But if you say A is not A, that's incorrect. And you can't say A without B is not A, because A without anything is still A. So you can't say faith without works is not faith.
Right.
What it is, faith without works is faith without works.
Right.
And faith without works is, as we say in Georgia, dayed. I'm not in Georgia, but I've been there.
You've visited at least once. I can tell by the impeccable accent. So our position is, this isn't about eternal salvation. His readers have already believed. It's their whole faith that's being tested. That's what the epistle is all about. So if they believe, they have everlasting life. So that's not on the table. What's on the table is whether or not they get deliverance from these trials and other things. When James asks the question, can that faith save him? He is expecting the answer no, but the salvation in question is temporal deliverance.
Right. One of the ways to bring this out is the expression faith without works is dead. It occurs, as I mentioned, three times, and the first one is in verse 17. And Grudem doesn't mention that what he's saying here in verse 17 is an explanation of what he's just said in 14 through 16. He says, thus also faith, if it does not have works, is dead. So what he's saying is, if you have a brother or sister that doesn't have enough clothes or enough food, and one of you, one of the believers that James is writing to, says a good thing, be filled and be warm, but you don't give him what's necessary for the body, yeah. then his faith is dead.
Yeah.
And we know what dead means because of verse 16 and also verse 14.
It's not profitable.
What does it profit? What does it profit? What good is it? What use is it?
As useless as a dead dog, isn't
that right?
An expression.
Yeah. And look at the end of verse 16. He says, what does it profit? Thus also immediately follows, what does it profit? So the point is, faith without works is dead. It's like a car without a working battery is dead.
Right.
A car without gasoline is dead. A child's toy without a working battery, it's dead.
But for Grudem, it means faith without works means you're not saved.
Or let's put it with the illustration. It means a car without gasoline is not a car.
It's not a car.
Get rid of it. Or it means a child's toy without a battery is not a child's toy.
Right.
It's something else.
Right.
The problem with his argument is it's totally illogical. You can't say faith, if you don't supplement it with something else, isn't faith. And besides, the other problem Grudem has with this, and John Niemela has written on this on our website, James isn't talking here about saving faith. James is talking about anything we believe in Scripture.
Right.
And he's saying if you don't apply what you believe, it's unprofitable.
Well, it's like what the example he used about feeding someone who's hungry. If you know that you're supposed to help the poor, you know it, you believe it, that's part of your doctrine, you know you're supposed to love your neighbor, but you don't put that into practice, it's not going to help you or the guy who's hungry.
Right. The example he's using is not believing that Jesus is the Savior and that he gives me
right.
eternal life.
And Grudem totally misses that.
Right.
For some reason, he thinks that temporal salvation is not in the context, and yet that is the very example that James uses, someone who is hungry, who needs temporal deliverance from this trial of life. But Grudem thinks it's nuts. He thinks it's unlikely. He thinks it's, James has to be talking about eternal salvation. Well, I will let you decide. Pick up a copy of Zane Hodge's commentary on James and decide for yourself what makes most sense of this passage. To me, Grudem has fallen headlong into this James contradicts Paul type of problem. And when you have Scripture contradicting itself like that, you know there's got to be something wrong with your interpretation. The solution here is very simple. Eternal salvation is by faith apart from works. But temporal salvation has to do with putting your faith into practice.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how to save a soul from death. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.